Welcome to a new episode of OTT Talks. I'm Enrique Mendizábal, OTT's founder and director. OTT Talks is a series of friendly conversations with thought leaders and practitioners in the field of evidence-informed policymaking. On this occasion, we are joined by Luis Orlandi, who recently joined the OTT team as a growth manager. Luis has more than 15 years of experience in international relations, public policy, and crucially, fundraising for think tanks. Thank you very much for being with us, Luis. This year's OTT State of the Sector report showed mixed results regarding think tanks' expectations of their funding context. I want to start by asking you how you see the current funding landscape for think tanks. Should they be optimistic, as most think tanks are in Africa, or pessimistic, as Latin American think tanks seem to be?
Thank you, Enrique, and that is a good question. I think that has to be related with the flow of funding that the main funders provide for Latin America and for Africa. At the moment, the flow for funding for Latin America is less because they are middle-income countries. But at the other hand, the African countries are low incomes and probably more and more funding are going to that area. So in Latin America, the kind of funding that the think tanks are looking for are different, probably the ones that they're looking for in Africa. They are looking for the different kind of topics and sectors that they are no more or are less attractive for the funders to support. So probably that is going to be one of the main reasons behind this question.
And the State of the Sector report also found that funding is one of think tanks' main challenges. So even Africans being optimistic about getting funding, they still worry about getting the funding and whether they're going to get it themselves. This isn't surprising, of course, right? I've been in this field for almost two decades, and I'm still looking for a think tanker that does not worry about funding. But in your opinion, what is it about funding that think tanks should be more concerned with? Is it the amount of funding they receive, the source of funding, the type of contract? Is it the power that they have to use funds as they best see fit? You know, is there anything else?
But definitely is a good question. Everyone is worried about funding. It involves sustainability, it involves growth, it involves everything. So if you are not well-funded, definitely something that you can develop your own organization. For me, the key point here is to understand what kind of organization you are, what kind of think tanks you are. Discovering who you are is basic to understand where to reach the funding, where to get funded for that organization. For example, what is the mission and objective of your project or your organization? Where is it going? What is the political orientation if they have one? So definitely you can reach different kind of funders if there is a political orientation to one side or to another side. What are your values? What are you looking for in the funding? If you're only thinking about getting fund without an objective, without a mission, that is going to be really complicated because probably you can move around and get funding for different sources, but the sustainability of your organization is going to be compromised if you are not well oriented where would you like to go. So definitely about the type of organization, the missions, the value that you are following. And if you understand really well that, you can get funded really well because you can create a strategy behind those values, behind those objectives. If not, it's going to be complicated. And afterwards, depend on the kind of organization that you are, the kind of funding that you can get from different kind of sources and channels and different kind of organizations. If you are a not-for-profit, for example, you can get funded for different kind of international organizations like the European Union, like Inter-American Development Bank or other development banks. But if you are more a for-profit organization, probably you have to reach another kind of foundations that work with call for proposals, with different tools to get funded for the organization. So definitely for me, your mission, your objectives are key to understand what kind of fund you can get.
So rather than to think about the external environment all the time, so looking for funding and seeing, well, I don't see any funding, probably what a lot of organizations need to be doing is spending a bit more time clarifying who they are, who they're not, and the clearer they are about themselves, the easier it will be to identify the right sources of funding for them, the right mechanisms for funding for them, you know, that work for their mission and work for their work.
Yes, definitely. That is an introspective thought that you have to have with yourself, with your organization, to really understand what are your capacities, what are your restrictions, what are your values. If you think that your values is not working with any organization that is against climate change, okay, don't go to look for that kind of organization. So for me, it's important to understand really, really well who you are, and afterwards, go and get the fund.
Right, so even think tanks that are, you know, highly developed, you know, across the global south, Latin America and Africa, Asia, they will complain, and they're rightly so, that a lot of the funding, most of the funding concerning their countries and regions for research tends to be awarded to organizations in the global north, whether they are in Europe or in North America. So from a fundraising point of view, why do you think this is the case? Is it maybe that local think tanks have not been effective enough at making a solid case for themselves, or maybe they haven't been looking at themselves and what they offer vis-a-vis these northern organizations?
Well, that is a quite tricky question, because for me, fundraising isn't an easy endeavor, and it's really complicated, requires a lot of time, it's time consuming, and you need to involve many, many resources, from human resources to also money to get more funding, because if you don't hire the correct person or the correct team to get the fundraising, it's difficult afterwards that you can get more and more money. In general, less developed organizations struggling doing this. So on the other hand, the more developed organizations, they have really good teams to develop their fundraising strategy. So for them, it's easier to get this funding. And even though that more organizations in the global south or locally speaking are becoming more and more professional in fundraising activities, they still have a big path to walk. So they have to a big path to learn ahead, and that is probably one of the main problems at the moment of getting funding for the organizations. It's for me like a chicken and egg dilemma. You hire someone to fundraise the organizations, but you don't have funding for that, or you get funding to hire someone to help fundraise the organization. So it's really complicated and tricky, the process, but definitely as an advice, a good fundraiser officer or manager would be helpful for the long run of your organization.
So basically, it makes me think of the time when we would argue for think tanks to invest in communications. And so they will struggle with the same idea. So can we invest in a comms team now with our reserves, even though we don't have the projects to pay for comms? Or should we wait for the projects to pay for comms and then hire communications officers? Like, those that invested early probably were able to show the value of communications, and then it was easier to get resources for communications.
Yeah, that's always is a good point. More and more funders are looking for a good comms team in the fundraising activity, because they need to communicate well what are they doing. Sometimes if you don't communicate what are you doing, and you don't find the correct audience for that, it's like the project or the program didn't happen. So many, many funders are looking for a good comms team, a good comms strategy that they can go in behind the activities of the project. Of course, in terms of quality of the content, in terms of quality of the research, you have to be on the top, but also you have to have the opportunity to communicate well this kind of funding, this kind of research that you are doing. So definitely it's a key point, and more funders are looking for good comms strategy behind the funding process.
But maybe what I was aiming at is that just as funders decided to invest in their grantee partners' communication capacity, and that has led to sort of, in many cases, sort of sustainability of the communications teams, then it would probably be a good investment if funders put some money behind developing fundraising capacity within their grantees. so that these questions around, you know, why are think tanks in the global south not getting enough funding to study issues in their own context might be more easily addressed, because then those organizations will be better prepared to raise those funds, as you say, make the case to receive some of that money. Let me ask you something around, I mean, I think it has to do with the same idea of sort of investing in the future. You worked for CPEC, a think tank in Argentina, and I think you worked there around the time the T20, which CPEC and CARI co-hosted. Now, CPEC is a rare case of a think tank that has been able to make the leap from the national to the global level. And I say rare because this is rare even in the global north, right? So yeah. For instance, New America is a fantastic think tank in the US. IPPR is a fantastic think tank in the UK. But they're not necessarily well known, you know, in Latin America or in Africa, right? They're not global think tanks. Now, what was the role of fundraising in supporting or accompanying this process of going from the local to the global? Did CPEC incorporate new funders? And with these new funders, did CPEC have to adapt what it was doing internally?
Yes, well, that was a really huge challenge. Because when the Argentinian government designed CPEC and CARI to lead the process of the T20, we did get the leading, but we didn't get any money for supporting that process. Of course, they say that they will support the whole organization of events, and they give in-kind support, like spaces, venues, and some equipment, but definitely to organize that kind of process it takes a lot of time, takes coordination between two different kind of organizations, like was CPEC and CARI, with different kind of institutional development and different kind of rhythm in the pace that they're looking for, they're working towards their project. So for me, that was the first challenge to put all together and setting up a plan, a working plan that works for both organizations, and we can work together the process. And for sure, the fundraising process was really complicated, because just on top of our normal work activities that we need to support and we need to fundraise in the organizations, we also have to fundraise these activities related with the T20. That for us was a really discovering process. It was a really enlightening process, because we could understand that many, many sectors, organizations, institutions, they were interested in our work without us knowing that they are interested in our work. So definitely something that we need to expand our network and trying to reach different kind of activities. So for us, the creativity of that process was huge, and we start to reach different organizations, so we can deliver a proper and correct event. This means that internally the organization have to change and shift into the view, not for local organizations or regional organizations that may help frequently in the activity for CPEC, but also for international organizations, and not only organizations in the third sector, but also in the private sector. So we start to reach many, many of the big four consultancies. We have a big support for PwC. We have support from Accenture. We have support for other organizations involved in the 10 topics that we deliver for the T20. So looking funding in the private sector is great if you understand that is more topic related than organizational related. So if you can find an organization that is working in a topic, and you are going to deliver an event, you are going to deliver a policy brief about that topic, you can get funding for that kind of organizations, or you can definitely get funding for this process. We did compare new funders in the organization. Some of them is still working together with CPEC at this moment, and also they brought many. There was a process that expanded our knowledge of the sector and brought new many donors and to both to CARI and to CPEC. So yes, definitely it was a really great process to understand better and expand our network and our sector and the reach that we have as a think tank. Not being that only endogamic of thinking about the researchers or the organization that support researchers, but also other kind of organization that likes our work as well.
And it's a bit of a challenge, right? You were given a challenge, right? By being given the T20, as you say, it's a challenge, but in addressing that challenge, right, you were able to take advantage of the opportunities, which I guess is a good case for international funders, multilateral organizations, as much as possible, bringing events to organizations in the global south or to organizations that don't often get to host these kinds of meetings. So you're presenting them with an opportunity that, you know, and if they are able to meet it, they'll make that leap from their usual funders to a new group of funders, from the usual audiences to a new group of audiences, etc.
Yes, definitely. And something that when we were thinking about the whole process, we not only wanted to bring the G20 countries into the discussion, we also wanted to bring more in the global South country discussion. So we invite all the think tanks in Latin America to be part of this process. At the end, we were part of the main Think20 thinking, and we believe that it's important to have the voice of the Global South into the discussion. So that was a really, really good opportunity to bring all these kind of organizations of the Global South together and discuss pair-to-pair with a great researcher from the Global North as well.
Let me stay on CPEC for a little bit. When I first met Nicolas Ducote, who was one of CPEC's founders, he told me about their annual dinner. At the time, I think it was a huge effort that did not necessarily bring significant funding for the organization. But over time, it's grown. I think it now accounts for 30% of its budget,
yes.
30 more
to
or less.
35%, yeah.
35%. And it's a feature in the, you know, in the calendar, right? For many policymakers, the private sector, and I'm guessing think tankers. Can you tell us a little bit about that dinner?
Yes, definitely. For me, the dinner of CPEC is one of the main events of Argentina political wise talking. They bring together all the political thinking into the same table, and that was the idea from the really beginning. So. Because CPEC is apolitical, so we work in used to, when I was to work there, I work with public policy, and definitely something that we think from the really beginning that we need to bring all the positions, all the right and left parties thinking into the discussion. So I think that from that really, really base concept is develop the dinner of CPEC. So bring all together and discuss together, have a moment of discussion, have a moment of mingle, have a moment of when you can share with probably your opponent in the political arena. And I think that the reputation of the dinner is the most important asset that they have, because it's totally in that direction. It's something that when you go to the CPEC dinner, you really know that it's a neutral space that you can talk with everyone. So that is for us the main role of that dinner. So bring a space for talking, for debate, for everything, for every kind of political side. And for that, and keeping in mind that for the getting support for that dinner is a great way to do it, because the support that you get from the private sector, you know, that goes into a great discussion, into a great meeting that you are going to have. And also the distribution of the table, also that we want to bring in the same table different kind of sectors from the construction sector, for the private industry, for many kind of different sector into the same table. So that is the idea, that we can put together an ambassador, we can put together a deputy, and we can put together a private sector enterprise over there.
It's a fundraising vehicle, right? Is that its main purpose?
Definitely, it's a fundraise activity that we do, but if you don't have well ahead the concept of the dinner, you can say properly. That is the idea. So right. If you don't build up the reputation of the dinner, you can sell it. So I wouldn't say it's an easy process. At the moment I was working, we have around 120 sponsors for the dinner that they buy the tables and they can participate into the table. There was more than 1,000 people participated in the dinner. But I think that the main asset that we have is the reputation of the dinner. So they know that they are going to a dinner, that they are not going to be a separation of power. They are going to be a separation of between right and left. So they are going to be all together in a place that where they can debate. So in terms of fundraising, if you wanted to do an event like this, first you have to build up the reputation and you have to be clear on the objectives of the dinner. And afterwards, will be easy for you to fundraise that kind of activity.
So you have to have a good product. You can't go around just selling support. I guess that good product can be something very specific, right? Like there's the space of engagement between multiple parties. It could be a particular program of work. It could be a solution or a promise of a solution. And in some cases, it's probably just the reputation that an organization has. Yeah. Right? So it's much harder than just to say, well, we like more general budget support. You've got to have something that attracts that general budget support. So let me go back to, more practical question around fundraising, because of course, when you're discussing challenges related to funding, one of the options presented is to suggest, well, let's hire a fundraiser, right? But I often find that think tankers that I talk to are unclear about what the fundraiser is going to do, right? So some expect the fundraiser is going to magically bring the money, right, to the organization. Others don't quite know where to put them within the organization, right? So who should they report to? Who should they be working with? Can you tell me something a little bit more about the role of the fundraiser or the fundraising team within a think tank?
Yes, definitely. For the survival of my race, definitely it's a great idea to hire a fundraise manager. I'm not saying this empty or just only because we wanted to keep doing our work. But from my point of view, it's really key to have a sustainable and healthy organization. Sometimes it's difficult to have this kind of professionals. They are not cheap. I mean, definitely something that there are many, many of them out there, and they have this kind of sense of commercial professionals. So at the end, they can pretty much move around many, many organizations. So for me, the key point of this is the return on investment. If you are going to hire a person and it's not going to be cheap, but you have to be really clear how much that person can bring to your organization. And that is a really key point on the return on investment that probably in the third sector is not something that we talk or we discuss frequently, but it's something that you have to bear in mind when you deliver or when you're trying to hire a fundraise manager or fundraise officer. Many organizations do not have a fundraise strategy, and that is really, really important. A fundraise strategy to understand where your organization is going, how your organization is going to grow. So this is really key to develop your organization. And if you need more and more resources to grow your organization, not only is important the fundraising strategy, you have to have a really good programmatic and institutional strategy as well. Without that, and without the consistency in your work, without the quality in your work, as we say before, you can sell a really good product, you can sell an activity, you can sell your program. So without a really good programmatic and institutional sustainability, the fundraise is going to be really difficult. Talking about more about the role of the fundraiser begins with knowing at the detail the organization. You have to understand what kind of organizations are you working, what are the products, their activities, the initiative, the programs, the projects, understand the financial situation, the human resources situations, what kind of donors they have, and the main funding sources. So to understand to the really deep, the organization is key afterwards to develop the strategy for that organization, the fundraising strategy, that is the next step. Once you have all this assessment, you can develop and you can work on outlining the fundraising strategy. You have to understand the needs for organizations in terms of funding, but also in terms of resources. To grow in, you have to understand how much funding you need if you want to keep the quality and the consistency of your project. And afterwards, you have to set up an estimated budget and go to work towards that objective. In this process, you have to involve the whole organization, and you have to bring all the organizations on board to deliver a correct fundraising strategy, because at the end, every single person in the organizations can be a seller of the organization. So you have to let them know that they have to understand what is the organization doing, where is the organization going, and then in any particular situation that they have opportunity of network, trying to also introduce your organization properly and trying to sell the organization properly.
So in the same way that everybody in the organization needs to communicate, everybody in the organization needs to mobilize resources. So it's not a matter of just bringing in a fundraiser or a fundraising team and have them do all the work. You know, team leaders, communicators, research officers, everybody has to participate in the process. Luis, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of OTT Talks. We at OTT are very happy to work with you, and we'll be learning quite a lot about business development, fundraising, resource mobilization, or however we choose to call
it. The name of it.
Now, we will be back with more conversations with thought leaders and practitioners in the field of evidence-informed policymaking soon. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel or your preferred podcast service for new episodes. And do sign up to our newsletter in the blurb for this OTT talk to receive the latest updates from across the OTT community of projects and programs directly to your inbox. Thank you and see you soon.
Thank you very much, Enrique, and looking forward to bring more ideas to these discussions.
Bye. Bye-bye.